quick and make up all the missing time, finish the thing in about 10 minutes. Classification and origin of cultivated tea based on sleep analysis. Yeah, got it. So the background and rationale, tea is an important commodity global wise. In the US, tea represents $10 billion. Actually, it's more than that. This is old data. And it's rapidly increasing. And the tea growers in the US is rapidly expanding as well. So there's a good opportunity for many of the southern states. Small growers, small farmers, ecotourism, many business opportunities. Research-wise, significant progress has been achieved in understanding the tea genetic resources, especially in the last 10 years or so. This is mainly benefited from the rapid development of genomic research tool, molecular markers, and research methods. However, right now we have two draft tea genome developed already, but the information regarding population structure of tea germplasm in its primary gene pool is still missing. Very little research has been done in this area. This missing link actually is critical for us to develop a tool for accurately identify tea cultivars. So the challenge I will describe in detail later. Generally, first of all, there are different several different taxonomy systems, but global wise, researchers commonly accept that there were two, there's one species, but two botanical varieties. So one is called sinensis, the so-called small leaf tea or Chinese tea. The second botanical variety is called Indian tea or Assam tea or big leaf tea. The main difference is based on morphological characteristics. One with a smaller leaf, typically less than 10 centimeters in length. Another one, the Assam tea, can be 20 to 30 meters, centimeters in length. And the Chinese tea is a bush type, typically. And Assam tea is a tree. But however, there's a lot of gray area in between, and later on you will find there are lots of germplasm. Actually, they are big tree, but they have small leaves. And vice versa, you have a bush type of a tea, but you have a big leaves. Right? This is where the big tree type Assam tea, but they were cultivated as a bush type in India. So they were cut back to facilitate the management, particularly harvesting. This type of classification system is fine, but this doesn't really help with the growers, where they typically want to know what I'm growing. And it doesn't really help the industry too, because they want to know what type of tea I'm selling or I'm buying or importing. Worse than that, the cultivar concept in tea is very confusing. You have a clone, a single clone. Then you also have seed families. You have a half seed family, you have a full seed family, or you have some of the famous Chinese tea, for example. They came from multi-source of hybrids projects. It's very difficult to define their genetic profile unless you really understand what the gene pool looks like, right? So the objective of the study is to really try to understand the geospatial pattern of genetic diversity in the primary gene pool of cultivated tea. Also, with this kind of knowledge, so we want to develop molecular tools to improve accuracy and efficiency in conservation and utilization of tea genetic resources. This is where the primary gene pool of tea is located. It stretches from northern India in Assam area, across Yunnan and Yungui Plateau in southwest China. Then it goes to South China in Guangdong and Guangxi provinces, and finished pretty much in East China in the Fujian area, where the yellow circle is by records. And the previous diversity analysis shows the highest diversity. That's in mostly in the Yunnan area. We started this work by collecting a representative subset of sample from Poklai Tea Research Institute in India. This is Divijit. He's a tea breeder and a curator for the Poklai Tea Research Institute and the Tea Germplasm Repository. So he came to Batesville as a visiting scientist for 1 year, and he bought about 300 different accessions of Assam tea from his institute. By the way, the Poklai tea collection is one of the largest collections in this world. For the Chinese tea, small leaf type of tea, we, through our visiting scientist, we contacted the Chinese National Tea Repository in Hangzhou in China, with the help of Dr. Chen Liang. He's a curator of China National Tea Research Institute. So we get about 300 Chinese tea from his collection. For many of those wild species or Asian variety and land races from Yunnan, we had two visiting scientists, and we together in collaboration with Yunnan Forestry Department, we made six collecting expeditions in the Asian tea gardens in Yunnan area. Some of those areas has been still virgin forests. It's difficult to go there. With the help of local forest police department, you can have access to some of those really wild tea trees. The Asian tea gardens there, it's already more than 1,000 years old. By the way, each kilo of those tea leaves can be worth more than $1,000, by the way. Yeah. You will see a dramatic change in people's livelihood because of the selling of their Asian tea leaves there. For tea leaves from Southeast Asia and Indochina, we had collaborators from the local tea industries where they had they specialize in selling organic and wild tea trees. So we asked them to send us GPS data, took photo, and send us dried leaf samples. So in total, we collect more than 1,000 tea samples, which cover a wide range of the geographical area. We believe that representing a majority of the primary gene pool. The genotyping tool we are using is called sleep markers. We've been using SSR for more than 20 years. That's until about 7-8 years ago, we switched to sleep marker. It's much more user-friendly. It's high throughput. It's much more accurate. It's like a black and white situation. You never get this like a stutter and the, you know, the beam of alleles, this fuzzy situation where you cannot make a conclusion. And the per data point, the cost is much higher as well. But last point is the most critical part is we want this result to be comparable with any lab, any platform. So this SMP can do that, but SSR and any other marker system is difficult. So you cannot compare the data, SSR data you generate in my lab with someone generated in China or India or in Africa. Whereas with sleep marker, yes, we can to do so. We learned this lesson in a hard way through our work with Kakao, with Ricardo and other colleagues. We did all the SSR work, but eventually we realized this doesn't work. And we start from scratch and generate to the sleep marker. But this is our in-house capacity in my lab. We had we use a flu dye genotyping system. It's quite easy to operate and relatively high throughput, right? Mm-hmm. And this is our typical T fingerprints look like. So with this one, you can do many, many more things. You can do nursery accreditation. You can do cultivar identification. You can do product traceability and authentication. You can do help you to do a brand development as well. But okay, makes the story short. Our genotyping is still going on. With more than 1,000 samples, we genotyped about 700 of them for this meeting. So I quickly run some brief analysis, and here's what a brief idea look like. So apparently, all this gene pool, we will have we can separate them as two genetic lineages, probably representing the two botanic variety, which makes good sense. But secondly, we can separate them as six germplasm groups. And those are the six germplasm groups look like. It's Assam T in India, it's Assam T in China, that's in Yunnan, and Assam T in Indochina, and East China small leaf T, and Southwest China T, which is mainly represented by Sichuan and Guizhou. And then we have this Southern China T, that's Guangdong and Guangxi province. And then I took the core member of those each cluster and sort of cast them in a principal coordinates analysis and see how good they fit, what's the rough situation. And I will give you a brief idea of this FST value. Some of you can say as high as 0.25. So it's really a quite a long genetic differentiation here. So here are the research team. They are all visiting scientists today in my lab. And the last one, Lindo Menha, is a research leader of our group. Thank you. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Yes, not yet, but we're going to start to. The work for this part is to set up a benchmark using the original established reference benchmark so that we can analyze what we have in the U.S. Actually, we already started working with UC Davis and USDA in Mississippi to analyze some of their samples, so to locate where they belong to. That's the purpose for this work.
Our final speaker today.